You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Lord.
Liberty versus legalism. That's what Dr. J. Vernon McGee is talking about today on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm so excited for you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we set off for Galatians chapter 5. And while you find your seat and open your copy of God's Word, here's a couple of letters from listeners of our Tagalog studies in the Philippines. First is a text from a pastor who writes, I want to ask for your notes and outlines. I will use them for the Bible studies in my church. I'm struggling because I have no formal schooling in ministry or the Bible, but I want to be used by God and have found your programs very helpful. We don't have a church building yet, so we meet in a member's home. We are small but growing. Please pray for us that we would be a church that lives by the Word of God. That is such an encouraging request. Let's pray that for our churches too. Next, we've got a letter from a new listener. I am blessed by your program. This is the first time that I have heard it. I plan to listen every day before I start my work on the farm. I also want to share it with my family. Thank you for the beautiful words and ideas you have shared. I will continue to think about them as I work. Lastly, we've got a text from a listener named Adrian. I have repented from the wrong things that I have done, and I want to recommit to the Lord, Adrian says. I'm thankful for your Tagalog programs that will guide me in this process. Please pray that I might find a church too, one that teaches the Bible as you do. Well, our world prayer team is traveling on our knees every day, praying for listeners like these who study God's Word with us in Tagalog and more than 200 languages around the world. So why don't you join us for that journey by going to ttb.org/pray. And let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, thank you that through your grace and your grace alone, you've saved us. Thank you that your word sharpens our minds and convicts our hearts and shows us the ways that we can follow you better, Lord. Lord, may we be people who live by your word and are controlled by God's Spirit day by day and moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now open to Galatians 5 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, today we come back here to this very important fifth chapter at verse 5. And I remind you again, we're in the section of sanctification by the Spirit. We're in the very wonderful section where we are told now how we are to live as believers. And he gives us in this section the modus operandi. But first of all, he shows that saved by faith and living by law perpetuates falling from grace. Now will you notice, as we move down into this chapter, he continues this thought. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now as we're in this section here, the hope of faith, actually, that he mentions here, is the only prophetic reference in the entire epistle. That's quite remarkable because in all of Paul's epistles, he has something to say about the rapture of the church or something to say about coming to the earth to establish his kingdom. But all he says here is the hope of righteousness by faith. And that is one of the reasons I'm confident that Martin Luther and the Reformers spent so little time on prophecy. After all, they did not live in days as we're living in today. They had a different concern. And to them, the big issue was the matter of salvation, because salvation had been clouded under a great deal of ritual and a great deal of works of the flesh, and the gospel actually was being fogged out. And when Martin Luther came to the epistle to the Galatians and discovered what the gospel was, why, this man rose from his knees on Sancta Scala and went out to the world to declare the gospel of the grace of God. He drove back the darkness of the Dark Ages when he did that. So that the emphasis actually was not on the soon coming of Christ. And the idea today that all of the schools of prophecy, and It's been true that the premillennialists, the amillennialists, the postmillennialists have all quoted Martin Luther and the Reformers. And I think very candidly all of them are wrong. I do not think that you have any development of prophecy beyond what the early church did. And until this century, it's been in this century that there's been tremendous development in prophecy. And I very frankly feel that probably the Bible Institutes were the beginning of this, and then two or three of our seminaries today that have emphasized the premillennial position and have taken the premillennial position, and they have forced the others to study prophecy. Now, actually, amillennialism was just the group of the postmillennialists forced into the position of having to study prophecy. And they came up with amillennialism, and of course, they have been great at quoting the fathers, that is, certainly the post-apostolic period. And it's in that period that they dwell a great deal. They say Augustine said this, and Augustine did say it, no question about it. He was attempting to build a church here upon this earth, that is, build a kingdom here, and the church would just bring it in. That led to post-millennialism. That was, of course, a false position. But I don't think you could blame Augustine altogether for that, because, again, in his period, they were not attempting to develop prophecy. The person of Christ was the great subject at that time, as salvation was later on, than the work of the Spirit, and you and I are living in that day. So I think the very fact that we have only one reference here, and Paul is dealing with the gospel here and the Christian life, and that's primary in this epistle. And I think that we ought to always note what the priorities are in any book of the Bible especially, and the priorities that were in existence in any particular period if you're going to quote somebody from that period, because you can certainly misinterpret and misunderstand them. And I feel like all schools today have made that mistake. They try to go back and quote the fathers. Well, let's read what Paul said, and Peter said, and James said, and Dr. Luke said, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John said. These are the authorities, not the church fathers. They, in their day, did a tremendous work, but in an altogether different area. Now, I make that statement just to pass by this, because the hope of righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the reason Paul says this here is that you and I are not going to reach perfection down here. And the greatest imperfection that I can think of today is to think that you've reached perfection. Because believe me, those are the people that generally are very imperfect, like the rest of us. The only thing is they don't see it. Now we move on here, and in verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Now, no legal apparatus will produce a Christian life. The formula is given right here. It's a simple simile. So simple that it passes by the theologian. Faith which worketh by love. That's it. That's the formula that's given to us here. Now, he is going to give us, as we advance here, the modus operandi. But let's keep before us here that it's a very simple formula, faith which worketh by love. That is the way to live the Christian life. And it's faith will work by love, you see. And love will be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he says, verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" What he's saying here is this. He's rather, I think, chiding the Galatians. He's more or less giving them a gentle rebuke. He says, "You were doing excellently as living by faith until the Judaizers came along, and now you've fallen on your nose again. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" And obey the truth is the truth of the gospel, of course, and the Lord Jesus Christ in person. Now, verse 8, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." In other words, this is not something that comes from Christ. This comes from another source. And then he says, verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And as we have here, it's very clear that leaven is a principle of evil. And let me add to that, that as far as I know, that all the way through the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, that leaven is always a principle of evil. It was given that way. And when it says a woman took three measures of meal and hid leaven in it, my friend, the leaven is not the gospel. It may be the kind of a gospel that's passing abroad today as legal tender, but that's evil. In fact, Paul says that's no gospel at all. And the thing is that leaven is a principle of evil. The Lord Jesus warned his apostles of the leaven of the Pharisees. And I think we need to be warned today of the leaven today of legalism. And it is an awful thing, I believe. Actually, that's what it means to call Christ a curse, is to say that when he died on the cross for me 1900 years ago, he didn't give me a full package of salvation, that I have to go to the Holy Spirit to get something else, and I'll have to have an experience and seek something to get the rest of it. My friend, I've got it all in Christ. Now, I may have experiences after that, but they'll always have to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has wrought out our salvation. And Paul warns of this kind of leaven that is an evil thing. And the Lord Jesus said that the woman would take leaven and hide it in the gospel. And I believe that's what's happened today, that we have a leaven gospel. And that means the bread or the dough is the word of God and the gospel. And into that has been hidden leaven. And it makes bread palatable. I was brought up in the South. I never knew there was but one kind of biscuit, and that was a hot biscuit. And I never ate a cold one. My mother used to bake every day. I can even now see those biscuits on the back of the stove and a dough, and she's letting them rise. And when they got a certain height, she stuck them in the oven. They had leaven in them. And my, I tell you, put butter in them and a little honey on them, and there's just nothing any better than that. That's still the best dessert I know anything about today. You see, there's a lot of leaven being put in the gospel today to make it palatable to people, because a natural man, he likes the leavened bread. It tastes good to us. And the gospel has to be a little leaven today to make it palatable. And we're warned not to do that. Now he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he is. Now, Paul here believed that the Galatians would ultimately reject, I think, the teaching of the Judaizers. He says, I have confidence in you that when you get your feet back down on the ground and your head out of the clouds and you begin to go back to the gospel that was preached to you, you'll see that this is an intrusion, that this is leaven that's been put in. Verse 11, and he says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now this is, I believe, a very important thing to note here. He says, if I preach circumcision, why am I persecuted? You see, the preaching of something to add to the gospel makes it acceptable. The gospel by itself is not acceptable to the natural man. I've had any number of people that have told me, and I think that's been the value of radio, that you can tune me out right now. Any of you can just turn the button and you're through with me. I know that. I recognize that, but I'm not trimming the message down because I know something else, that there are a lot of people that will say, well, wait a minute, I can tune him out anytime, and I don't like what he's saying, that I can't work at my salvation, that he's saying my religion doesn't do me any good, and I'd like to punch him in the nose. Now, I have a man, I played golf with him some. He's a great big fella, and he belonged to a religion. And he said that when I began to listen to you, he said, if I could have got to you, he said, I would have punched you in the nose. You kept telling me I was a sinner, and I was as religious as I could be. And I was in church practically every day. And I said to him, why didn't you just tune me out, and you'd been through it? He said, I just want to see what you're going to say next, because it all sounds crazy to me. Well, keep listening, friend. Maybe the Spirit of God will do what he did for that fella. It'll make Jesus Christ real to you. And when he becomes real to you, as he did to this man, and he came to the Lord Jesus, and he had a wonderful conversion. I say to you today that preaching the gospel does antagonize people. And Paul says, if I'm including something in the gospel, why am I being persecuted? And then he says, the offense of the cross ceased. Now, what is the offense of the cross? Well, the offense of the cross is not an intellectual offense, although it is that to some. And it's not an aesthetic offense, although it is that to some people. The thing that he says here is, the offense of the cross is that it makes you and me a beggar. And we have to come to the front door of heaven and accept a handout. And that's the only way you'll ever get saved, my brother. I had to come like that. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. And when you come like that, you're a beggar. You're bankrupt. You haven't anything to offer God for your salvation. And when you come like that to him, you can be saved, friends. That's the offense of the cross. Now, I had a professor in seminary that said a very wise thing. He said, young gentlemen, do not tone the gospel down. Do not change it, because there is the offense of the cross that today you need to recognize. But he says, don't magnify the offense. Now, I think sometimes the way we give it out, we may become offensive. And when we do that, may God forgive us for that, because I'm sure most of us who attempt to declare the gospel do not want to be offensive personally. We'd like very much for the gospel to be that which is offensive. I said to a man that was on my staff at one time, he antagonized a family and caused them to leave the church. And I told him, I said, now look, I'm the one here to antagonize people. You are not to antagonize them. And I said that I want to be very careful and make sure that I'm not personally the one that antagonizes them, but that the gospel I preach, if anything antagonizes them, let that be the thing that antagonizes people. Not you, not me, actually, but the gospel. I think that is what Paul is saying here. Now he goes on to say, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. I wish these Judaizers were removed from you. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That's something to remember. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now we have given to us here something that I think is very important. There are three methods of trying to live the Christian life. Two of these methods will not work. One is a life of legalism, as he's been talking about that. That won't work. And the other's the life of license. Paul discussed that in Romans. Now that we are saved by grace, does that mean that we can continue in sin? And Paul gives the answer, God forbid. You can't live in sin, be a Christian. Now you may fall into sin, but you're going to get out. The prodigal son can get in the pig pen, but he never lived in the pig pen. That was not his forwarding address. He left it. And therefore, the Christian life is not a life of legalism, and it's not a life of license. What is it? Well, he's discussing it here. It's a life of liberty. Now, Paul will give in the remainder of this chapter the modus operandi of living by liberty. The life of legalism not only includes the Ten Commandments, but a set of regulations that Bible believers follow today. They tell you where you can go, where you can't go. They tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. I remember we had a very wonderful woman who was a Bible teacher in Texas. She came to our town, did a wonderful work teaching the Bible. A dear little saint came up to me one day. She says, do you think she's really a Christian? She uses makeup. Well, who in the world ever said that is a test? And I said, well, that woman, I think, is living under liberty. And she may be using a little too much makeup, but I said, when you get her age, you probably, you know, spread it on a little thicker than you do before. Now, I said, candidly, I don't think it helps her too much, but she has liberty in Christ. Whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, I won't commend you to God. Whether you use makeup or don't use it. And some women do look a little better with it, by the way. And some of them look a little worse for using too much of it. But I'm no authority on that. Now, that's not my business to tell people that. I never would preach on that. Now, notice what he says. They can keep all these things, Paul is saying, and still not live the Christian life. Did you know that you could keep every commandment, and you could follow all that the fundamentalists put down for us to live today, and you still wouldn't be living the Christian life. We're going to see what that is before we finish with this chapter. There are the antinomians who think they can do as they please and live the Christian life. These are extreme as the legalists. And the Christian life's not either one. It's liberty in Christ. Now, well, you listen to it here as he's going to reduce it to a simple statement, then he'll amplify what he means. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how are we going to get that in our lives, this matter of love? He'll discuss that next time, of course. We'll get down that far next time. In fact, we'll finish the chapter, but we're now in a very important section. By love, serve one another. Now he says, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The one word, of course, is love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And here is a verse, verse 15. I've always wanted to preach a sermon on this text. I never did get the sermon up, never did preach it. Probably never will, but I've got a title for it. Listen to the verse first. Here's the text. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And my subject would be Christian cannibals. Eat and devour and bite one another. And you know that's what happened in many churches today. You can get bitten there, by the way, and the bite is as bad as a mad dog. And there's nothing you can take. You can't take any kind of serum for rabies. You just have to suffer under it. Because there are a lot of mad dogs today. They'll bite you. And they'll devour you. And unfortunately, the world has passed by the church today. And I'm sorry it has. There are many fine people in our churches. And there's some wonderful preachers throughout this country. But did you know that the life of some Christians are keeping the world outside from attending certain churches? I happen to know that. Why, I happen to know men that have been turned away from the church by the life of those in it. What are they doing? Why, they don't love one another. They bite and devour one another. And I tell you, it's a terrible thing. Now, Paul is going to contrast what it is to live in the desires of the flesh or to walk in the Spirit. And now here is his injunction, and this whole section here will give us the modus operandi. Listen to him in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Two things need to be said here. One is, to walk in the Spirit, the Greek word is peripateo, which was the name of a school of philosophy in Athens. It's where the founder walked up and down. It hadn't anything to do with his philosophy, but he just walked up and down. Now, this is the word. The principle is to walk in the Spirit. Now, he'll amplify that. Ye shall not fulfill, not lust in a bad sense. Actually, it just means the desires of the flesh. Now, there are a lot of desires of the flesh that are actually not lustful in that sense, and they're not sinful in that sense. Going to opera and loving opera, nothing wrong in it, but it can be a desire of the flesh. Now, a lot of Christians are living today to do nothing in the world but satisfy the desires of the flesh. Now, they've attempted to improve their desires, but they have no love for the Word of God. They have no love, really, for the gospel. They have no real love for walking in the Spirit. We're going to see next time what it means to walk in the Spirit. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
It's going to be a great message, so be sure to join us. And why not invite a friend to hop aboard the Bible bus with you? They can listen online anytime on our app or by finding a local listing of a radio station that carries Through the Bible. You can always go to ttb.org to find that listing. Also, to prepare our hearts and minds for what we're going to study next, let's read ahead through Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. And if you want to join us in reading ahead before each study, always a good idea, by the way, visit ttb.org/bookmark to download your copy of our free bookmark that outlines the schedule. Or if you prefer to receive the bookmark by mail, join the mailing list by calling us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll include it with our monthly ministry newsletter. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time as we continue to make our way through the Bible. Our study today was made possible through your prayer and financial support. We'll meet you back here next time. In fact, we're going to do this together, Lord willing, till Jesus comes again. In which case, we'll meet you in the air.
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Whose word of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Roy. and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We have Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 7:30 p.m., and that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat, 732-434-2231. Now, our church services start at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we praise the Lord once again out there in Radioland. We thank God for the time frame that he allowed us to be on vacation for a couple of weeks there. Praise the Lord. And we just came refreshed and renewed. Praise God. Because I tell you, these are the last and evil days and a lot of things that are going on. So we just give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory. And we thank you all for continuing to pray for us and to just thank God for everything that's going on. Well, today, praise the Lord, we want to get into the Word of God because that's most important. That is the reason why we are here, praise God, to give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory. Well, we want to look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, glory to God. And I want to speak on a subject of purity. You know, well, when I say purity, I'm speaking that when Apostle Paul was talking to the church of Corinth. Well, the Corinthians had all kinds of problems, as so many churches or fellowships today have a lot of issues that are not truly being dealt with through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of the living God. But what Paul was talking to them about, because they had problems with the ecstatic gifts, the spirit, you know, the speaking in tongues, and they had whole lot of division that was going on, and purity, Paul was trying to explain to that church there in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And he was trying to tell them about righteousness and so forth. But the point I want to convey this morning here is that the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, we want to look at that. And I pray that you have your Bibles out there if you've tuned into this broadcast, because it's most important. Don't believe what I'm saying unless I'm saying what the Word of God says. And the Bible is clear, praise God. So Paul was saying there to the church, that first epistle there that he wrote to the church of Corinth, and I tell you, they had a lot of problems. I tell you, a lot of problems, a lot of issues, as we as well today in the church. And a lot of the issues are not being dealt with. They're being covered up and so forth. You all remember in 1 Corinthians 5 where the man had his father's wife and all kind of things that were going on. But here, I want to look at this purity here where Paul's talking in the 9th verse here of the 6th chapter. He says, don't you know that the unrighteousness or the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And now that's important. Unrighteous. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, Minister Glory, you know that we in the fellowships of the churches, so to speak, that there are a lot of things that goes on, and the responsibility actually is on the elder of the church, or those that are in a position that God has placed them in, that these matters must be corrected. And it's not through the elders trying to browbeat or make someone do something, because the only way that things can be corrected or changed is through the Word of God.
Amen.
And what we believe as a child of God. So I want you to read that 9th verse there in its entirety, and let's go on down to the 10th and so forth, because there are a lot of things that he was dealing with in this particular chapter. Praise God.
It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, or drunkards, nor revellers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God.
But the whole point is, Apostle Paul is trying to make mention here, is that a lot of things that were going on before your conversion, and when you were converted, or perhaps born again, then these things should not be in your life as a child of God.
Amen.
So he's telling them that at one point you were doing these things, but such as you were before, but now you are washed. Amen. And we need to keep that in mind. You are washed. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, of your lives, then you should be walking in holiness and righteousness and purity that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, believing what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all on the cross of Calvary. Mm-hmm. So these things are vitally important, and we must believe this. We must believe it, because Apostle Paul is saying, but such as you were before.
Yes.
But now, and that's the most important thing that we need to understand, but now you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, there's a lifestyle that one should be living as a child of God.
Yes.
You just don't do everything and anything and fall for anything, because what happens is that a lot of times things will be questioned in your lives to the observation of others that are seeing your lifestyle. I always remember, and I'll never forget this, that I would rather see a good sermon than to hear, have one preached to me. Because your lifestyle is very important, how you're living and the things that you're doing. And I'm not speaking of sinless perfection, but what I am talking about is that the Holy Spirit, once you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul tells us through his epistle to the Church of Corinth, which is also to us as well, that but you are now you are washed.
Amen. In the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
You're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus
Christ. Hallelujah.
The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, we are to walk in that. And the only way that we can walk in that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it through the energy of our flesh, but we depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will guide and lead us and point us to the cross of Calvary. That's where it took place. That's where the benefits, that's where the power is. That's where everything that we need to walk this Christian journey is, what transpired or took place there on Calvary's cross. So you are washed. He never said that you weren't saved. He's telling you, but now you are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. And we were all washed, if we can believe it, on Calvary's cross. That's why it's such a spiritual fight that takes place, because the enemy doesn't want you to realize what transpired on Calvary's cross, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all. And really, the only way that we can really please God is through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. Because if you try anything other than that, you're in the flesh, and the flesh cannot please God, and therefore we have to stay focused on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
It won't be through our energy of the flesh of what we are trying to do, but it's what Jesus Christ has done. So he says, but you were washed. Now, there was a lot of things that they went through there. I don't think you completed all of them, right? I mean, it says,
but you are sanctified.
But you are sanctified.
Set apart for God's use.
Now you've been set apart. And that set apart comes only through what Jesus Christ has done. I want to say something here, because the most important thing is that our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's done. So he washed us, praise God, to what took place there on Calvary's cross, and he sanctified us. We've been set apart through what Jesus has done for us. And Minister Glory, many of us, we try to sanctify ourselves.
Yeah.
You see people wearing a certain kind of apparel and or attire, and they're doing things and try to make themselves look holy and righteous. We've all been washed, and if we've been born again,
amen,
and we've been sanctified,
mm-hmm,
this work took place through what Jesus did.
What Jesus has done. Amen.
Not what we're able to do.
No.
It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And there are a lot of fellowships today are trying to force something on someone and tell it, instead of telling them, listen, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about who's standing behind that pulpit or that rostrum. It's what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
That is where the power lies. There is where the victory is. And everything that you and I would desire to have or perhaps do. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will lead you to Calvary anyway, because he's a direct representation of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. The Holy Spirit witness or testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you or I will be able to please God, is through our faith in Jesus Christ, the one that pleased the Father. Jesus said, I do everything to please the Father.
Amen.
So you can't please him through what you are trying to do. And I know a lot of folks say, well, Pastor, what about Hebrews 11 and verse 6, where it says, without faith is impossible to please him. Well, that's the scripture. That's what it says. But what does it really mean? It means that our faith must be in the one that pleased God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Paul is telling the church of Corinth, he says, well, you're washed.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been sanctified. You've been set apart for God's use. Sanctified. You've been made holy because of what Jesus has done for us. Isn't that something, Minister Glory?
Yes, it is. And then you're justified.
Well, before we get to that, let's mm-hmm. look at what the sanctified means.
Mm-hmm.
Because sanctified, he set us apart.
Yes.
He made us holy.
Yes.
And let's look at what it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 10.
Okay.
Praise God, because the word of God speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot add or take away. The only thing we can do is glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter.
Yes.
And the 10th verse.
Says,
and listen what it says here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word of God. It's not my interpretation. It's what the word says. Minister Glory, would you read
this? This is by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Once and for all.
That's right.
Once and for all. Sanctified.
Yep.
We've been set apart. We've been made holy.
Yes.
Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and this is the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once and for all, mm-hmm, we've been sanctified. So we've been made holy.
Yes.
Through what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ
has done
for us.
Mm-hmm.
That was done through the offering of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Where was his body offered? On the cross of Calvary.
Praise the Lord.
Everything has to be in what Christ done. What he's done for us. It has to be. There's no other way. And folks are saying, well, I can do this. You can't do anything without Christ. The word tells us that. Praise God that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Praise God.
Jesus is my strength.
Mm-hmm.
He is my deliverer. He is my healer. He is my redeemer. He is my Lord and Savior. Everything is through what Jesus has done for us. Praise God. So it says that he was telling the church of Corinth there, you've been washed. Mm-hmm. If you're born again, you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. You've been sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You've been made holy and set apart through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. All of this is not through anything that we're able to do.
No, it's not.
It's through what Christ has done. Mm-hmm. And then he says, what is it?
You are justified.
You're justified.
Found not guilty.
Amen, amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Praise God. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, and you've been justified. And that word justified means that you have been found not guilty and declared righteous.
Hallelujah.
If you're not guilty, then you've been declared righteous. You know, I was reading there in Romans, the 5th chapter there, when it was talking about, when Paul was talking to the church at Rome there, mm-hmm. praise God, his epistle to the Romans, mm-hmm. he was saying, and therefore being justified by faith, that we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that something? So we have peace with God mm-hmm. through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been made holy through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We've been sanctified. We've been saved. We've been washed. Everything is through what Jesus has done.
Amen.
I don't know why it's such a problem where people try to do things through the energy of their flesh. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit through what Jesus has done. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when we can just look at what Jesus has done for us and walk in that.
Amen.
You know, in Colossians 2 and verse 6, I think it says that, well, I'm not sure this verse of scripture, 2 and verse 6, where it says that as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him.
That's right.
Walk in him, praise God. Walk in what he's done.
What he has done.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Walk in what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is telling, I mean, all through the scriptures, well, but he specifically is speaking to the church of Corinth. They had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were doing a lot of things, and it wasn't right. And Apostle Paul got wind of it. Chloe brought some information to him and told him what was going on. But it's so important here that our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Minister Cliff?
Yes.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, and what he has done. He said it was finished. What do we have to do except believe, have faith in what he has done on the cross of Calvary?
Well, it's a finished work. No
it's
doubt about
work.
That. And we're trying to add to a finished work.
Exactly.
Which makes no kind of sense.
No sense.
And it's not going to work anyway. And God's not going to honor it anyway because, first of all, he sent his son Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus came here for a specific reason, mm-hmm. a divine reason, praise God. And that is to seek and save that which was lost, praise God, and we all were lost.
Yes.
We need to understand that what Christ has done on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
You know, there's so much that transpired. I can't even fathom the idea of what really transpired. I know that he suffered
mm-hmm.
on Calvary's cross, and we're not to say that then we have to suffer. No.
No.
What it is that what he's done for us, he did it without shame. You remember reading there in I think it's the 12th chapter of Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
where it was talking about he endured the cross?
Yes, he did.
And how is it that we will look to everything else other than what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us.
That's
praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's why it says, look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he set that. He set himself on for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down the right hand of the throne of God, making intercessions for us, praying for us. Hallelujah. What do we have to do? Nothing except believe in what he has done.
Praise God. Now, we're not talking about where you just sit down and say, well, I believe. No, no. The Holy Spirit, he is the one that will give us strength
mm-hmm.
and bring us into the things that God wants done. So I don't want anyone to misconstrue what I'm talking about in mm-hmm. terms of finished work. And it is finished
mm-hmm.
because Jesus said that in the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I finished the work that the Father gave him. In his priestly prayer, he said, I finished the work. Now mm-hmm. glorify me with the glory which I had before the world began. So let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
if your faith is in anything other than what Jesus has done, then and you're trying to do something otherwise, then you're in the flesh,
right?
And you cannot please God.
Nope, not by works. No, not
you
by
cannot
works.
Please God.
No, only
I don't care how wonderful things that you're doing. You cannot please God.
No,
our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And
glory to God.
And anything that we do for Christ is by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
What we do is only through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was, you know, this morning, Mr. Girl, I was sitting there and I was thinking that, you know, if the anointing destroys the yoke,
yes,
and if God has not anointed you to do something, then there is nothing that you can do.
No.
Nothing that you can do.
Because if you're not in the spirit, then you're in the flesh. And the flesh doesn't profit anything.
Doesn't profit anything.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Well, Apostle Paul, as he was writing to this epistle to the church of Corinth, he was very specific in what he was saying. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land today that if you are trying to do something in your own strength or trying to make something happen, now I know there's certain disciplines that we all do.
Yes.
We pray and
yes.
we fast and we do all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not give us the power over whatever it is that's trying to attack our lives, such as sin and all of the works of the flesh and all kind. It does not give us that power.
Mm-hmm.
The power only comes through what Christ has done.
Amen.
There may be difference of opinion out there, but when you read the Pauline epistles, and you will see exactly what is happening. That Paul, he addressed everything pointing toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us. He will lead us to Calvary's cross.
Amen. Thank God for God's grace. Isn't that beautiful? Thank God for God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. Because he said in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. Amen. We're born again creatures.
Amen. New life.
New life.
Praise God. If any man be in Christ,
he's a new creature.
He's a new creature. Praise God.
All things are passed away and everything becomes new.
Amen. Well, I tell you, when Apostle Paul was writing to that epistle to the church of Corinth there, he addressed quite a few issues there, but we just wanted to speak on the purity, that the way you once were and now you've been washed, you no longer should be walking in that fashion. You should be thanking the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he's done, that you are washed, that you are sanctified, that you are justified. Praise God. And all of this is through a born again believer. Praise God.
Amen.
Because if you look at what Paul was saying there, that don't you know that unrighteousness and the thieves and whoremongers and fornicators and all of this. He said, but of such you once were that way, but now you are washed. So if you are washed, that means that you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and therefore you are to walk according to what the Word of God says. And the only way that we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because he will give us the strength.
Amen.
That we are able, praise God, to do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
That's right.
On Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning in to the broadcast. And I want to let you know that if you're born again, just take notice that you are washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. And one other thing, I extend an invitation to you all out there in Radio Land. Don't try to do things in of your own strength. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you.
Amen.
And point you to Calvary.
Amen.
Mr. Glory, just for quickly, would you just extend this invitation to salvation?
Romans 10:9-10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the risen Savior, the ascended Lord. We give him all the praise. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. My prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the risen Savior.
Amen.
Praise and the ascended Lord.
That's right.
And he has done everything for us that we need to have done. And I thank you all out there. Don't forget, continue to listen to the broadcast, because what is being brought forth is nothing but the truth of God's word.
Amen.
God bless you all out there. It is my prayer.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.